So I got a few questions for you this morning. One of them is, how much do you value your freedom? Think about this morning. You take notes, if you want to take notes. I'm really working on a thing called YouVersion. And YouVersion is where I can actually just, you can go to the YouVersion link and find all my notes for the sermons. And that way is you can have the notes, you know. And I'm going to try to work on that. But first question is, how much do you value freedom? And what does your freedom allow you to do? Think about that. What does your freedom allow you to do? Third question is are you free to do whatever you want? That's the third question. Are you free to do whatever you want? You know, I would say this, although we live in a country where it promotes freedom. Well, it used to. I say that because we struggle with that, right? There is a struggle going on right now in our country over what's really free and what's not really free. But we really live in a country that promotes freedom, but there's some limitations to your freedom too. Is that right? We all agree on that, right? There's things we can't do. There's a lot of things we can do, but there's some things that we just cannot do. I mean, you can't walk into a crowded room and holler and cry fire when there's no fire, right? You can't do that. Although people do, they pull the fire alarm, you know, do stuff like that, and that's actually you can go to jail for that, really. There's a big fine for that. You can't ignore the speed limit and drive as fast as you like. Seriously, now you guys are laughing at me, but I'm telling you the truth. Unless you live in Montana, I think there's no speed limit. 80 miles an hour on the interstate or something like that. I can't remember. We have rules and laws and stuff, and you can't go across the road to shop and take something from the shelves and pop it in your pocket and leave without paying for it either, right? We all agree on that stuff, right? Well, people do it all the time though, right? They do it at Walmart. They've even got two people that work full-time at Walmart that roam around catching people shoplifting. Some stores, if you've been in some areas, they have things locked up behind glass that you can't get to. Silly things. You can't even get to them now because Walmart here in Ann is the same way. Car stereo stuff. Go in there and you can't even get a cell phone like adapter or something to, because they got them locked up behind glass because people steal them too much. It's crazy, isn't it? But there's rules, there's laws, there's freedoms that you can do, but then there's things you can't do. And you know, in the Bible, the book of Galatians is all about spiritual freedom. The freedom that's ours in Christ. Amen? And the freedom that we receive when by faith we enter that relationship with Jesus Christ. Galatians, it speaks of this freedom we can have from the bondage of sin. Amen? We have this freedom from the bondage of sin. Now hear what that says, from the bondage of sin. From that word. I use that word, I want you to understand that word means something. It's significant. From. It also speaks of the freedom we have to receive God's gift in worship and the freedom we have to stand in God's presence because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Galatia because there was a real threat to their spiritual freedom because Paul faced this often. In the scripture, if you read it, there were teachers that would rise up and start teaching a different gospel. There were teachers that would rise up that were Jewish, they come from a Jewish background, and then they would tell them that they had to obey the law and they had to be circumcised And they had to do that to be a better Christian. It wasn't just about faith. They had to do something else. Like Jesus wasn't enough. You know, we see a lot of that today. We see some that go one direction or the other. Some people think there's more to being a Christian than just living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, safe from all harm, right? In His sheltering arm. Because why? We live by faith. Trusting in the grace that was given, right? But there was these false teachers who were saying Christ isn't enough. Is Christ enough for you? Amen? Is Christ enough or is He not? Another question, is Christ too much? Remember the last time I preached about that? But is Christ too much for you? What's it take to follow Christ? Remember I talked about that? Sometimes you're like, okay, this can be difficult, right? Because to take on Christ, to take up your cross and start to follow Him, there's a price to pay. Right? You have to sacrifice some things. Right? Well, I thought we were free in Christ, right? I thought we were free. Well, then why is there a sacrifice that has to be made? I thought Christ already made that sacrifice. You ever ask those questions to yourself, right? So is Christ too much or is Christ isn't enough? I think that's kind of where we're at in this country today. It's either Christ is too much or He's not enough. Some people go off the rails with, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to wear this and you got to wear that. There's all these things that you have to do to be a Christian. And then there's some that say, well, you can do whatever you want as long as you believe that Christ died, then you can do whatever you want. You're free to do whatever you want. So where's the middle ground? Where's the happy balance to this? What's really the message here? You still have to submit to Moses? Get circumcised? Follow the Old Testament dietary laws? To be a true follower of God? To be a real Christian? You have to do all that? Well, Paul says, no, it's either all because of Christ or His death is in vain for nothing. Right? So now, okay. So it's either all for Christ. So it's either Christ is enough or He's not enough. Right? We're either free or we're not free. But anything added to the cross of Christ is added, right? It chisels away at really what the purpose of the cross was, and it takes away from the freedom that we have in Christ. It kind of destroys the foundation of our faith. You can't add anything to it, right? That's what a lot of denominations struggle with. Because some denominations like to add stuff to it. Well, you can't do this. You can't dance. Nazarenes don't dance, right? Right? That's part of who we were, right? There's criteria to things. Nazarenes don't go to the movies either. That was part of what the... It was in the manual, right? The law. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stuff in the movies that's not fit to watch. Even though we got freedom to go, doesn't make it beneficial. Doesn't make it good, right? It doesn't make it sanctified. It doesn't make us holy, right? You get what I'm saying? Anything added to the cross of Christ, it chisels away at the freedom that we have in Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes these words. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. For Through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we have hope. Different translation says, so Christ has truly set us free, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. I like that, right? We who are in the Spirit. Get that? Christ comes into your life. When you get saved, guess what? You get filled with the Spirit. Christ's Spirit lives within you, guides and directs your life. That freedom is in Christ, yes. But the Holy Spirit guides your life. Not for just one little moment, right? Because throughout Galatians, Paul talks about how Christ's death takes away fear. Listen to me. And how God provides lasting forgiveness and restoration. And knowing that Jesus Christ has set us free, not just for a day. Amen? Not just for a day. Not just for a moment. Not just, but for eternity. You hear me? Eternity. We are set free by Jesus Christ. We have freedom in Jesus. But that freedom is from what? Next question. What are you free from? Apostle Paul says this in another scripture. He says, before this faith, we were kept under guard by the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so we could be justified by faith. You know, before Christ came, God kept us in something like a house arrest, right? A protection is our own protection, but it's kind of like the laws that we established in this country were based on the principles of God's law. Do you know that? It was based on that. Why were they there? To protect us. Right? To protect us. To keep us kind of in line. Right? That's what laws are for. Keep you going in the right direction. We may disagree with some of them, but most of them are very beneficial. We don't like it when people steal stuff, do we? Somebody breaks into your house and steals your stuff. It's just stuff, but it's not right, is it? God gave us His law to keep us from hurting others and to keep us from hurting ourselves. Much like the laws we have in this country. If we're disobedient towards the authority or to the law, yeah. Guess what? You might go to jail, right? In our country, if we violate the laws here, we might go to jail. But what if we violate the laws of God? What happens then? Well, everybody's quiet now. If we're tempted to kill, the law is supposed to contain us and stop us before we do something harmful. If we're tempted to steal, the law is supposed to restrain those outward behaviors. The law surrounds us with the bricks and the bars, right? That's what the old law of the Testament, that's what it was all about. It restricts us from the rules and regulations, though. And it blocks us from every side. The law also teaches us, rebukes us, and corrects us. And if we're willing to learn and not think we know more than God sometimes we get that way, right? Do you go to God before you go to yourself to fix problems in your life? We try, don't we? Yeah. Do we have not faith in our Creator that no matter what, He can take care of it? In Galatians chapter 2:21, Paul writes, He said, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Right? If you could earn forgiveness and eternal life by what you do or how you live, then Christ died for nothing. You hear me? Because it's not about that. Romans chapter 10 verse 4 says, but now then, faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian. For where faith in Christ is alive, the law has been silenced. That's why Christ is the end of the law, that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Hear me this morning. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I come to make it complete. I come to finish it. And when he was on the cross, I've said this many times, some of the last words that he said, it's finished. I've completed it. It's over. The law ends in Christ. It's all about Jesus. And that way, for all who believe, that is, his death is their death. Amen?
Amen.
When you become a Christian, I say, a Christ follower, a Christian. I love that. Dan Bohai taught me that. It's a Christian. You live for Christ. When you're born again believer, man, I think about this. His obedience becomes your obedience. And that's his life becomes your life. Right? Take up your cross and follow him. We still need to be obedient to God's commandments. Don't you agree with that? Do we need to be obedient to the law? The Ten Commandments, for example. We still need to obey the Ten Commandments. Why just the ten? Why not the Levitical laws? You ever read through the Levitical laws? How many of you read through the Levitical laws? A few of you. How many of you fell asleep about, you know, third chapter? Right? How many of you went, this is crazy? It is crazy, isn't it? 600 laws? The do's and don'ts? 640-something. I'm telling you, it's crazy. You can't eat rabbits. I'm sorry, guys. Can't eat a camel. Can't eat a horse. Can't eat pork. I'm just dealing with foods. Can't blend two clothings together or two different types of material. Wool and silk, you can't sew them together. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and there's a whole bunch of them that you can't do. Then there's the do's that you have to do. Not do's that if you want to. It's the do's that you have to do. Touch something dead, you got to go purify yourself. Go wash 7 times and dance around in a circle. I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in there. And you think, man, this is crazy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to go through all that. We're Gentiles anyway. I don't think there's any Jews here. That's okay if there are. I mean, I'm just saying that. We still need to be obedient to God's commands. Right? But because of Jesus, by faith in Him, by trusting in Him, our Savior, we are no longer commanded or commit. How's this? We're no longer condemned by the law. Because of what the law was not able to do, Jesus did. That makes sense? Well, you guys are quiet this morning. And that's what the real, that's where the real freedom in Christ comes from. It's through faith. It's through faith. The freedom Christ purchased with His blood when He died on the cross for you and rose from the grave is faith. We have freedom from condemnation under God's law because we were all guilty. We are all destined for hell. Kicked out of His presence. Total separation. With no restoration. And where there's faith in Christ, the law cannot hurt you. It cannot accuse you before God, and it cannot condemn you to hell. Simple as that. Praise God for that, right? Because Jesus Christ's sacrifice was sufficient for everyone who believes in Him. Everyone. Not just some people. Not just the chosen ones. But all who call upon the name of the Lord, right? Because that's what the Scripture tells us. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Even the worst sinner. Even that person that you think there's no way they can be redeemed. Christ died for them because He loved them. For everyone that trusts in Him as Lord and Savior shall be saved. Paul also wrote this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, 21. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You ever really think about that in your life? Sometimes I think we're disconnected from that idea. That we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us enough that He gave Himself for you and for me. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. Should we not be obedient? Even when we don't have to. You get what I'm saying? When God looks at you, He doesn't see the sins that you've done in the past. Because of Jesus. When you've been saved, He doesn't see that any longer. Maybe you remember them, because that's what Satan likes to do. He likes for you to remember those things that you did. But because of Christ, God doesn't see that any longer. Isn't there confidence in that? Doesn't that make you feel better? Right? Doesn't it make you more appreciative to what Christ did? Because you know the things that you did and you know you don't deserve what Christ did. I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve God's mercy. If I was to look at my past and look at my sinful past, I don't deserve God's grace. But Jesus says, I love you too much. But in Christ, by faith, we're free. When God looks at you, He doesn't see your sins. He sees the blood of Christ that has washed you white. Spotless, blameless, no blemish. And there's freedom and there's no fear than when you stand before God I'm not afraid to stand before God anymore. Amen? Why? Because of Jesus. He sees that. He sees the covering. It's like Christ is your clothing. You get up and you put on Christ every day. That's like Paul said, I get up and I die daily. I think about that. Put on the armor of God. Maybe you just get up and you put on Christ. You walk around with Christ's clothes on. His righteousness is your cover. And God doesn't see your disobedience any longer. He sees only Jesus' perfect obedience. He doesn't see your sin. He only sees Jesus' holiness. And that's why you can be forgiven of sin. Amen? That's why you can have eternal life, and that's why you can be saved, and that's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why God can forgive you, and that's why you can live in freedom. It's yours in Christ Jesus, and you can't add anything to that. Amen? You can't add anything to it. There's nothing more to add. It's already done. It's finished. And I know we try to add stuff, because we think doing more is going to make us better. I know a lot of people think, well, I don't do enough. I don't do enough. I feel that way sometimes myself, and I have to remind myself, I don't have to do enough. Right? I just have to do what Christ asked me to do, and that's it. Right? I just have to be who Christ asked me to be, and that's it. I don't have to do any more. Why? Because He did it all. It's finished. I see people burdened down with guilt and fear that they're just not right with God. I just don't think I'm good enough. Bound by fear. Bound by habits, enslaved by habits, shackled by attitudes. And that's not living in freedom. That's living in bondage. That's not living in as a free, forgiven Christian. You know, there's a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Has anybody read that book? Pilgrim's Progress. It's a pretty good book. It's been a while since I've read it. Read it all. But there's a point in that where the young man Christian, his burden that he'd been carrying all his life, it falls off his back and rolls away. It's a tremendous book, really. I encourage you to read it. And you know where it falls off at? At the foot of the cross. It's gone. It's a beautiful story. And you know what happens after that? He never carries that burden on his back again. Ever. And that burden is sin. And I encourage you, I plead with you, don't carry those burdens. If you're burdened down by sinful stuff, just Take it to the cross and let it roll off. And don't pick it back up. Don't chase after it. So many times we let stuff go and then we run after them again. Like a snowball headed downhill. I think that was a song one time. What his life was like. I'm rolling downhill like a snowball headed to hell. Remember that song? I think we can, a lot of us can relate to that. Seems like we're chasing that stuff. Christ died to set us free from the burden of sin and those bondages, and you know, the constant refrain from coming out of our lips sometimes is this life of repentance. Jesus said, just repent of your sins and I'll forgive you. It's all you have to do, right? Sometimes it's so hard for us to let stuff go. Paul tells the Galatians, and he tells us too, he said, we made right with God by grace through faith in Christ, and that is our justification. Amen? That frees us from the burden of sin and from a guilty conscience, from the fear of death. And, you know, I'm not afraid of death. Amen? I'm just not. Let me ask another question this morning. I promise I don't want to preach too long. It's been a couple weeks, so I'm just prepping you here. Is there joy in your life? Is it a joy to be a Christian? Amen? I'm not talking about just are you happy? Because there are those people who just seem to be happy all the time. They just tick you off, don't they? It's like, I wish I could be happy like that. You guys are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth too. You guys think that too, don't you? No, I mean, are you really satisfied at being a Christian? Is there joy and there's no fear of death? There's no burdens down in your life where you're like, I'm content in my faith. That's really what it comes down to. Are you content in your faith? God loves us unconditionally. And that means that we cannot make Him love us anymore. Right? And there's nothing that we can do to make Him love us anymore or any less. Our salvation is in Christ and not in our obedience, but our sanctification is our obedience. Our holiness, our personal godliness, our witness before God and others depends on our obedience. Amen? People know who we serve by how we act, what we do, how we treat others. Not just others, each other. You know, sometimes we treat other people outside the church way better than we treat people in the church. I didn't get an amen out of that, but you know I'm telling the truth. Your salvation is all in Christ. It's not in the church. Let me tell you, I love this church and I love you guys. I love the building. I'm glad we have a beautiful building to worship in. But our relationship is not with the church here, this building. Our relationship is with Jesus Christ. Right? If this building was gone, we talked about that on Wednesday night, and I see some growing pains happening in this country that we live in where it could be very easy, where we would not have a church building like this to worship in. One election, one stroke of a pen. There's things that's going on in this world today which is biblical, prophetic, and it could change everything in how we... You know, in historic... When Paul was preaching here, he lived in a foreign country, basically, because he was an alien, right? He didn't belong there. Under Roman rule, different communities. Yes, they were free, but yet they weren't free. Anytime a group of people got too strong, guess what they did? They come in and they either killed them, slaughtered them, or pushed them out of the communities. If they thought a church congregation was getting too big, they wouldn't tolerate stuff like that in small groups. In different times, I mean, we're seeing Christian persecution stronger now worldwide than we have ever had before. We're seeing it here in America like we've never seen it before. Because we're spoiled here in America. We've never seen persecution really here in America. But when a group of people can go into a church congregation a Sunday during church service and cuss their people and kids, and then a large number of people in this country think that's okay, there's a problem. We witnessed that. We witnessed that just recently. The beginnings of things to come. You know, the Scripture tells us that it will wax worse. It says that it'll be perilous times in the last days. Now, we don't know when those perilous times will happen, but we know that it won't be good. We know that prophetically, America's really not in the picture in the end times. I don't want to get off on another message, but let me tell you, it's not about that American flag right there either. I served my country. I'm proud of it. I'm glad I was born in America. I would do it again. But I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. This flag's way more important, right? Because of what it stands for. But let me tell you what, that cross right there means more to me than that flag or this country or anything else. It's not about that. And if this country's gone, what would you do? That's my question to you. We're not promised that. You get it? Paul didn't have that. It didn't change their faith. Matter of fact, the church grew under persecution. You know, 7,000 Christians, over 7,000 Christians were slaughtered this year, last year, overseas. You think about 7,000. You know what they did wrong? They believed in Jesus. And they wouldn't accept the Muslim faith. That's it. I want you to think about that today. Because what happens if we're not able to have church like we always have it anymore? What happens? Does it change who you are in Christ? No, I hope not. Okay? I hope not. But see, these are the things I want you to think about because it defines our who we are and our freedom in Christ, right? Your sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit each day leading you to obey God's Word and will so that you'll be more like Christ. The fruit of the Spirit. That life brings freedom, right? Against such things, Paul says, there is no law, nothing to condemn, nothing to convict, therefore no guilt. You live by the fruits of the Spirit, right? You make yourself live by the fruits of the Spirit. Nope, you can't do it. It's impossible. But when you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, fruits of the Spirit you can do. Because let me tell you, self-control is I mean, if you could accomplish that one, I think you could do the rest of them, but that's the thing you can't get past right there without the Holy Spirit in your life, right? Because it's when we surrender our will to His will. I better get going here. God does not wipe away your sin, give you salvation, and put handcuffs on you, right? To hinder you in your Christian life. I want to tell you that. You're free from your past, and He has wiped it clean, and you're no longer imprisoned in your sins. That debt's been paid. Right? You don't get bills any longer. Been paid for. Out of debt. Debt free. How many of you like to be debt free? Right? No mortgage, no car payments, no nothing. Let me tell you, it's the greatest feeling ever. Lee and I became debt free a few years ago, and it's been the greatest feeling ever, and I never want to be in debt ever again in my life. But Christ made, He made me debt free. And I never want to go back on that either. I never want to be in debt again, right? Because Christ paid my bills for me. And it's the greatest feeling ever. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 3, actually in verse 19, it says, "Repent then. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I love that. How many of you will want to be refreshed? I mean, that feeling of... I remember when I first got saved, I remember that feeling. I just remember that it was just such a wonderful feeling. And I've had many times like that with God. Because I don't want to lose that feeling. Right? Amen? I don't want to get burdened down by this world and all the garbage that it throws at us constantly. To not have that feeling of freedom. He set you free from your past. And why would you go back on that? Why would you pick those burdens back up and start carrying them again? As the stewards come to a moment of communion, they're going to pass out the elements, and I want you to think about a few things as they're doing that. And in a moment here. Lord, bless us during this time. Maybe right now, some of you, maybe someone here today is dealing with some stuff. And maybe you've been not accepting the forgiveness that God offers. Maybe there's something you need to repent of. There's no shame in that. Sometimes I think we think there's shame in that, but there's no shame in that in Jesus. Sometimes maybe we have repented, but yet we left the handcuffs on. Maybe we left it on our back, and maybe we're still chasing after it. Sometimes we need to let go of those memories that have us handcuffed to those memories You know, you can't change the past. You can change the future, though. Amen. God covered your past. That's the freedom that we have. Amen. In Christ, we have freedom by faith, which within the boundaries of God's Word, listen to me, we are free from the punishment of sin, from eternal death, from the past, from the fear of the future. And let me tell you, there's a lot of concern about what's going on in America and a lot of concern about what's going on. But let me tell you what, in Jesus Christ, there is no fear. Because no matter what happens, God's got it. It's His plan. No matter who's president, no matter who's governor, even though we'd like to change a few things, it's all God's plan. You know, the Scripture teaches us that God puts in power who He wants in power. He says, I set up kingdoms and I tear down kingdoms. Sometimes we're not free to do our own thing, right? We know that. We're not free from our responsibilities either. We're not free to just sin and go do what we want to do as followers of Jesus. Even though we can. You got free will. You can go do what you want to do. We're not freed from love and concern for others either. We have freedom from the requirements of the law in terms of our justifications, but we are required to obey the law for our sanctification. Galatians chapter 5, it says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen? I hope you think about these things today. I really do. And I hope you have joy in your heart knowing that Christ set you free. And you can live a wonderful life here with joy in your heart. And yes, there's trials. And yes, there's garbage. And yes, there's all these other things. But they can take your life. They can take your life, but they can't take your spirit away. God says nothing can pluck you out of my hand. Nothing. Paul says this. He says, for I received this from the Lord, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took a loaf of bread. I know this is not a big loaf of bread, but and when He'd given thanks, He said, thank you, Lord. He broke it. And He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me. In the same way, after He ate, after supper, He took a cup. And He said, this is the new covenant. This is my blood. He said, do this as often as you drink, He said, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. I proclaim my salvation, which is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take and drink. Heavenly Father, we thank You Lord, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And I thank you for your wonderful blessings. And Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice for me and for all these great, and for everyone in the whole world. You gave your life on the cross so that whoever would accept you could stand before God, price paid in full, no condemnation, forgiven, loved, bought with a price. Let us live our lives for you as you gave your life for us. Lord, let us go here full of the Spirit, with joy in our hearts, free of any bondage. Lord, I pray all these things for this great group of people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.